Chapter 45. Meet Maria Gomez. I had returned unharmed from earthquake-devastated Guatemala, to the offer of a job as an archaeological illustrator with the Departamento de Patrimonio Nacional, the Department of National Heritage, at the Catedral Metropolitana, in Mexico City. The job offer had come out of the blue, but it gave me an opportunity to once again put my commercial art skills to good use, as well as receiving credit towards my almost complete fine arts degree. Definitely win-win. I'd been studying at the Instituto Allende for over 2 years, without a student visa. Student visas were hard to come by, and, as a result, most of my fellow students came in on a tourist visa, for either 90 or 180 days, as they were easy to obtain at the border. I discovered that the cathedral people were prepared to overlook my lack of legal documentation, because they wanted my illustration skills. I'd been living in Mexico long enough to begrudgingly accept that this was a country of contradictions. But this example of a blind eye being turned, topped all of my previous experiences. I was keen to start work. On my first day, I took the early bus from San Miguel to get me to the cathedral in time for a 9 o'clock start, barring a bus breakdown or a highway accident. As I write, my mind is flooded with recollections of the extraordinary traffic incidents I witnessed whilst living in Latin America. One worth sharing occurred on a bus trip somewhere in regional Mexico. My bus, overloaded with passengers and cargo, was crawling up a very steep hill, when up ahead, there was another bus moving even more slowly. Drawing alongside, I could see a fella under the bonnet fiddling with the engine, whilst the bus was moving. Oh my! But I digress. Fortunately, that morning we had an uneventful run into the city. I took the metro to the station nearest the cathedral and walked the rest of the way. Once through the gates, I found the site office, where I introduced myself to the engineers, accountants, and restoration architects supervising the project, from two neat rows of wooden desks, facing each other across the enormous room. I spoke English with architect Luis Rodriguez, as he escorted me to the archaeologists' workrooms, located on the top floor of an adjacent wing. There, I was greeted by my new boss, archaeologist Constanza Vega, and the archaeology students doing their practicum at the site. This space would be my workplace for the duration of my non-existent contract. So, why were we there? In late 1975, the country's unpopular president Luis Echeverria was coming to the end of his term. He decided to fund the cathedral's desperately needed restoration work, because the building was gradually sinking. This major expenditure would be his attempt to regain favor with the people, who were, in the main, practicing Roman Catholics. To do this, Patrimonio Nacional was galvanized into action, hastily gathering the skills and manpower necessary to shore up the sinking building. Why was the cathedral sinking? Tenochtitlan was the extraordinary city built by the Aztecs on Lake Texcoco. It was connected to the lake shore by a wide causeway. When the Spanish invaded Tenochtitlan, now Mexico City, in 1592, to establish supremacy, they knocked down the central Templo Mayor and built the Metropolitan Cathedral in its place. Over the centuries, due to the falling water table, the structural integrity of the building was at risk, creating problems that would only worsen, if not addressed. The solution came in the form of the Pilote de Control, the control pile system, invented by Mexican engineer Manuel González Flores. Before the piles could be installed, 280 to begin with, later another 129, huge quantities of earth were removed from below the cathedral, containing masses of Aztec artifacts. Archaeologists were called in to assess the finds of ceramics, obsidian, and stone, and documenting the most important pieces would be my job. From the pieces I was given, I made black and white ceramic reconstruction drawings, using a dot technique to create dimension. Archaeological illustration is a specialized art form, the demand for which continued long after the advent of photography, particularly in Mexico, where the cost of photographic equipment, film and processing, was prohibitive. Also, photographs didn't always provide the detail required. As part of the job, I was asked to share my documentation skills with art students from the university. I hardly had time to set up my desk before the pay clerk asked my new boss to give me a Mexican name. A very strange request. The reason? To hide my nationality and visa status. She immediately called an office meeting. Naming me was to be a group effort, and what fun we had. I had grandiose ideas of a posh name like Maria de Los Angeles Velasquez Riva Palacio, or Maria Ines Hernandez de Cervantes, but I was outvoted. The meeting decided I would be Maria Gomez. Around noon, I was invited to join the archaeology team for lunch at a restaurant, a short walk from the cathedral. We ordered from the set menu, Comida Corrida, the four-course lunchtime special, for very little. We began with sopa, soup, then sopa de arroz, a dry rice dish, then carne o pescado con verduras, the choice of meat or fish with vegetables, and finally, postre y café, dessert and coffee. It took at least an hour to get through the meal, plus the time it took to walk to the restaurant and back to the office. We returned with full tummies, around 1:30 or later, depending on the table service and the intensity of the conversation. This pattern was repeated almost every day I was at the cathedral, until the fateful day I took a bait. On our return to the office, my co-workers did a little work, before drifting off around 3 o'clock. I continued to work until 5, mindful of our long lunch, and driven by a deeply ingrained work ethic, the result of 3 years at the Argent Manufacturing Company in Sydney. My rationale was that Maria Gomez was being paid to do a job, so she'd best get on with it. My six-month stretch at the Metropolitan Cathedral would provide a number of amazing personal, professional and cultural experiences that I'll share in the next chapter. On reflection. The Mexican Public Service. My archaeological illustration gig with Patrimonio Nacional was one of the few times I've worked for a government department, preferring the freedom of self-employment. Maria Gomez was the name I used to sign for my pay every Friday afternoon for 6 months, until my work at the cathedral ended. After which, I left Maria behind, to complete the coursework for my degree at the Instituto. Mexican visa. Leaving Mexico every 180 days to renew my tourist visa was an adventure in itself. I could head north to the border towns of the United States, or go south to Guatemala. My preference was to go north for shopping and pizza. I mostly took the bus, but occasionally hitched a ride with others. I remember one memorable trip. 5 of us squashed into a low-slung Mustang sports car for the 10-hour trip to Brownsville, Texas, the closest Mexican consulate. My regular trips to the border were interesting. As I stood in line to enter the United States, I was saddened to see Mexicans treated as second-class citizens by the border staff. This was something I found hard to understand, as Mexican culture was far older and richer. The food in particular. Facts. Luis Echeverria was president of Mexico from 1970 to 76. He's alleged to have had a role in the massacre of leftist students prior to the Mexican Olympics. Snipers shot between 300 and 400 unarmed students in the Plaza de las Tres Culturas on the 2nd of October, 1968. On that day, my former boyfriend, Carlos Contreras's parents forbade him to attend the student gathering. He was determined to be part of it, and after a monumental argument, he was locked in his bedroom for the day, possibly saving his life. Echeverria's presidency was plagued by high unemployment, illiteracy, and runaway inflation. The latter forced the devaluation of the peso by 50% in 1976. Echeverria then went on to serve as Mexican ambassador to Australia, from 1977 to 1980. The full name of the cathedral. The Metropolitan Cathedral of the Assumption of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary of the Heavens. In Spanish, La Catedral Metropolitana de la Asunción de la Santísima Virgen María de los Cielos. A mouthful in either language. Publication. Arqueóloga Constanza Vega Sosa. Coordinadora de El Recinto Sagrado de México Tenochtitlan Excavations, 1968-69, and 1975-76. Published by the Instituto Nacional de Antropología y Historia, Mexico City, 1979. Illustrations by Morley Granger, aka Molly, and Maria Gomez, on pages 40-43, 46-47, and 77.